All right, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians 3, we got a little sidetracked from the book of 2 Thessalonians. But we're going to come back to it for our Bible study. Our text is going to be verses 4 and 5, but let's begin reading in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now let me tell you the point of this Bible study. I'm going to get to the punchline. Here's the end of the whole thing. In verse 4, he said, we have confidence in the Lord touching you or concerning you. He did not say, we have confidence in you. He didn't say that. I don't have one stitch of confidence in myself to do the will of God concerning me. I don't have one stitch of confidence in myself. If I had to have confidence in myself to do His will concerning me, to do the things He's commanded me, the only thing I could be confident of is that it wouldn't happen. I could be absolutely confident of that only. So thank God He did not say, we have confidence in you. We've told you what to do, and we have confidence in you that you'll do it. He said, we have confidence in the Lord concerning you. In verse 5, He said, the Lord will direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. He did not say, now you need to direct your hearts into the love of God, which is what most people stand up and say. Now you better listen now. You better direct your hearts into the love. He did not say that. He said, God will direct your heart. I don't want any of the directions being left up to me. None. So the point of this Bible study is whatever is going to be done concerning us, in us, by us, our confidence is in the fact that God will be the one to do it. He will be. Now verse 4 says, we have confidence in the Lord touching you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. The Lord willing, next time we're here, we will look at what it is that Paul commanded them to do. He said, we have confidence that you do and will do what we command you. We'll hopefully see that next time. Today, I'd like us to see if the Lord will give us some clarity on a believer's works in general. How do they relate to our salvation? The things believers do, the things believers should do, the things believers will do. How important are they? How do they relate to us as children of God? He said, we have confidence that you do and will do certain things. All right, let's take a look at some of those things. Doing things, namely the commandments of this word, is called works. That's how the scripture refers to it. That involves anything that earns something. Anything that is worthy of a payment. Anything that could come from us that is profitable. The reason that a company hires an employee, All right, there's one reason why a company hires an employee. That employee will work all week long, and then the company pays that employee at the end of the week. The reason is because the employer, the company, sees something in the employee that is profitable to the company. That's why the company does it. If the company doesn't see that, the company doesn't hire the employee. They see something profitable. His work contributed something profitable, and the company saw value in it. All right? Because of that contribution, the company owes him a paycheck. It's owed. That is works. That's works. I believe that's a pretty accurate description of salvation by works. It involves us earning a payment. It involves us being profitable to God. It involves us contributing something that God sees value in. And because we put in our time and because we finished our work, He owes us a paycheck. All right? He owes us our reward. Heaven. That's works. The opposite of works is grace. Grace involves anything that is not earned. Have you ever gotten a bill that showed the date that the bill was due? All right, you get a bill, they give you a date. This is the date that it's due. It is owed to us, this company, on this day. But then you see another date that's 15 days later. All right, they've got another date on the bill 15 days later, and it says if it's paid after this other date, we're going to attach a late fee. Okay, this is the day it's due. 15 days later, if it's paid after, we're going to attach a late fee. Do you know what those 15 days are called? A grace period. It's a period of grace. They're saying we're going to freely give you these extra 15 days. We don't have to. We do not owe it to you. You have done nothing to earn those extra 15 days. We're just going to show some kindness. We're going to show some generosity by freely giving you this period of grace. That period is not profitable to the company. Those 15 days are the opposite of profitable to the company. It brings no value to them. It is a total sacrifice on their part. I believe that's a pretty good description of salvation by grace. It is not earned. We provide nothing profitable to God. We bring nothing of any value. It is a total sacrifice on His part. Now, it has been said, and it's true, that there are only two messages being preached in the world. All of the denominations, out of every denomination that exists, there's only two messages being preached: salvation by works and salvation by grace. Either we earn salvation or God freely gives it to us. It's one of the two. I'm going to go ahead and tell us which one God says it is. Whichever one God says it is, that's the one it is. God says salvation is by grace. It's by grace. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It's not by works, it's by grace. Go with me over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is how we can spot those who are in false religion. This is how we can tell when a pastor and a congregation have never seen salvation. Never. They know nothing of God's salvation. They know nothing of what God has written in His Word. This is how we can tell. They cry, "Works, works." Now, if you want to be saved, you better start doing those works. All right? That is not true. That is a lie. That's a false statement. Verse 9 says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, God reveals this to His people. Everything I've told, I believe and hope and pray, every person in this room right now knows that and believes that, is convinced of it. All right? We know it's not by works. We know it's not by works. But then we read verses of Scripture like this. Verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." What does that mean? What does that mean? Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." They profess they know Him, but everything they do in all their works, they deny Him. Abominable, disobedient, reprobate. Well, I thought that didn't matter. I thought it didn't matter. I thought being profitable to God didn't matter. I thought works were irrelevant. I thought you said it was by grace. I thought works were absolutely irrelevant. Look with me at Titus chapter 2, verse 6. "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." Everything. Show a pattern of good works. Verse 14. "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us." That's grace. That's grace. "He freely gave Himself for us, that He might make a payment for us and redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's what He did and why He did it. Well, Paul, have you changed your message? Absolutely not. Look at Titus 3, verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy." He saved us according to the mercy that we receive in His blood, not getting what we deserve. According to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He shed His blood for us, and He poured that blood on us abundantly, that we might be justified before God by His grace, by His free gift. All right, so what do we make of all this? This is important. This is really important. There are some who cry, works, works, and that is not true. That's not true. There are some who cry, no works at all, no works at all, and that is also not true. That's not true. Gabe, how can you say that and still preach grace? How can you say that and still preach grace? The answer is by preaching the Word. Just going verse by verse through preaching the Word. But let me show us the answer in the Word. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. How was Abraham justified? It wasn't by works, because then he'd have something to glory in. Verse 3, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God through faith. Faith is not of ourselves, that's a gift. Through God's gift, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That's what we were just talking about a minute ago. You owe it to him. If he works for it, that's, you have to pay him. You owe it, that's debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So what that's saying is, Abraham was not justified. He was not saved by his works. He was justified by faith, by God's grace giving him a heart to believe that it was all freely given to him. All by grace, justified by grace alone. Not by works of righteousness, which I have done, by His free grace alone. The gift of that blood alone. All right, now turn with me to James chapter 2. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? If he comes and says, I'm so hungry, and you say, bless you, brother, go on your way and be full, but you don't give him anything to eat, what does it profit him? Verse 7, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 21 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? When he'd offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest how then, how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Well, I guess the Bible contradicts itself. No, it does not. Romans 4 and James 2 say the exact same thing. Abraham believed God. Faith is the work of grace. Grace freely gave the faith, and God never gives dead faith. Never. James said, a man may say, I have faith, but he doesn't believe. Oh, I believe there's a God. He said, that's great. The devils believe that. I'm talking about believing God. I mean believing God, believing everything God says about God, everything God says about man, everything God says about the only thing that will save us. I'm talking about believing God. Believing in God, yes, but believing on God. He said, a man may say, I have faith, but he doesn't believe. He said, I will show you the faith that God has freely given to me without any work on my part, without earning it on my part. I will show you what he has done by believing wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will cast my all on Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God. He believed God. He believed it was not by my works. He believed God. That's the work of grace. Abraham bowed to God. God said, Abraham, take your son and offer him for a sacrifice. Abraham bowed to the word of God. He submitted to the word of God. That's the work of grace. God's people bow to the word of God. Grace is a free gift. Faith is a free gift. The works that they create in us, the works that God's grace causes us to do, they're just the result of the free gift. That's all they are. When God freely gives grace, he freely gives the evidence of grace. Every time he gives grace, he gives the evidence of grace. Every time he gives life, all right? He gives life to the womb of a woman. Every time he gives life, he gives evidence of life. Every time he gives grace, he gives evidence of grace. So the gift is his doing, the works are his doing. Now go with me quickly over to Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. If I had to produce a work for my salvation or to prove that I was saved, it'd never be done. I could not do it. But it's not left up to us. It's not by our works. Verse 13, Philippians 2 verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Every good work that is done by a believer, it is God doing the work. And he will do the work. He will do the work. He will do the work. To say, you know, you say this is, it's all by grace. This is all a free gift. Now, just come to Christ. To stand up and say this, it's free. It's free. Now just come to Christ. We can't come to Christ. We can't. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Walk up to a dead man and say, just come to Christ. Just come to Christ. He can't come to Christ. He's dead. We cannot come to Christ, but we will come to Christ. We say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's a fact. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's not one drop of faith in us that could allow us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot believe on Christ, but we will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We will. Our Lord said, if you know the truth shall make you free. We can't know the truth. The truth is a person. No man can know the Son except he be revealed. If God reveals him. No man can know his word. These things are spiritual. We are carnal. No man can know the truth. But we will know the truth. God's people will be taught from him. We will come out from among them. We will gather with God's saints. We will know whom we have believed, and we will be persuaded that He is able to do it all. With His grace will come His work. Now, the moment, this is the last thing I'll say about it. This is a great error. This is a great, great error. The moment that we start to look to His work as it being our own, and we start to become lifted up with pride because, well, I see this in myself, that's when we err. And the moment that we start to look to the works for our assurance of being saved, that's the moment we err, because now we've taken our eyes off His blood alone. It's the blood alone that justifies. That work will believe. It's the blood alone. As soon as we start to look to our faith, as soon as we start to look to our coming out from among them, as soon as we start to look to all these things, we've taken our eyes off the blood. That's the moment we err. Now, I'll just finish with this. This is a story I'd say everybody here has probably heard it. Been told for decades. Rolf Barnard had to preach a meeting one weekend, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and before the service Friday night, he was invited, a lady in the congregation who was a faithful member, invited him over for dinner, and he went to her house, her and her husband and Rolf Barner. Her husband did not attend the church. He was not a believer. He had no interest in the gospel. He owned a bar. Called it a tavern. And so they're sitting there eating and having their awkward conversation. And the husband just goes ahead and tells Rolf, he said, I just want you to know I'm not coming to hear you preach. And he just kept on eating. And he said, why is that? He said, it's because every time one of you preachers comes through town, you tell me that I can't be saved unless I sell my tavern. And I'm not selling my tavern. Rolf kept on eating. He said, you don't have to sell your tavern. He said, I don't. He said, no. He said, well, I'll come hear you preach then. So he went all weekend and heard him preach. Started attending the church. And as time went on, God saved him. And what did he do? Everybody can answer. He sold the tavern. Now, our Lord was a wine drinker. There's nothing wrong with that place serving alcohol. Nothing wrong with that at all. Here's the problem. That was a lewd place. That was a filthy, brawling, drunken. That's a bad atmosphere. That's a bad place for him to be. And he wanted to come out from among them. He wanted to gather with God's saints. He wanted a heart that just worship Christ, and all those kinds of things. But him selling the tavern was not the cause, it was the result. And that's a good illustration of this, but the point is no matter what we do, God will do it. God will do it, and He will do whatever He has purposed for us. We will do it. You talk about faith, you know, you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will say, well, now you're preaching works. Now you're making a work out of this. No. It's just a fact. If that baby is born and that baby is alive, that baby will eat. That baby will drink. It's going to happen. And that's how it is with all of these other things. God's people will believe. God's people will bow. They will come to Christ. But He's the doer of it. He's the one who gets the glory. All right, you're dismissed.